poi avevo mandato tutti i ministri per risenderla. This meeting today, it means to have a hearing on the petition received from Crispo France about the alleged failure by both Western Cape and national government to recognize them as traditional leaders in the province of Western Cape. I'm sure honourable members would remember that when we are dealing with hearings, we don't necessarily have to wait for quorum. We get the petitioners and the respondents to present to us, and we take it from there. I wanted to take this opportunity to welcome all of you in this hearing. And while we are preparing to start, I notice that the Honorable Mahalakis seems to want to speak.
Thank you, Chairperson. Welcome to the Deputy Minister and the petitioners. Chairperson, just for the record, you're going to try to stop me, but I just want to say that during the previous meeting, I did warn you that members would be reluctant to arrive. I know my fellow members, and it's sad to see that there, apart from you, there's not a single member from the governing party today, and it seems to be just the opposition. But be it as it may, Chairperson, I would like to request, with the indulgence of the Deputy Minister and the petitioners, perhaps for us as a committee, just to discuss one or two aspects regarding this petition, so we can get our own house in order. We are prepared to continue if we have to, but there is just one or two aspects that is bothering me legal-wise. Legal-wise, in terms of this petition, that I think we need to, before we start, to be, in order to be fair towards the petitioners, that we just need to clarify amongst ourselves. So we can know in which way we're going to deal with this petition. We had a previous one where we also had to discuss that, so we at least as a committee know that we are in a legally sound position, and that we continue in a manner which is fair towards the petitioners, because ultimately the goal of this committee is to give the petitioners a fair chance to have a solution to their problem. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. And I must confess that the kind of discussion you are raising, we had last week when I announced that we'll have this hearing. Can I assure you that I've done everything, both legally and administratively. I'm certain that there's nothing wrong in this particular hearing. Like any other hearings, we will receive the presentations from the stakeholders, the petitioners, the stakeholders, and everybody, and then proceed accordingly.
Chairperson, if I may, I understand, and I have faith in the fact that you make sure that you yourself are satisfied with that. However, that's the reason why I request we perhaps just meet for 5 minutes so that the procedure can go smoothly, because I myself, as a member of this committee, want to know exactly the aspects that you have satisfied yourself upon to say that that you are satisfied, because if you can convince me about the certain legal questions that I have, then I would be more than happy that we continue. But at least I, as a member of this committee, would like to be on the same page as the chairperson before we start. We need to prepare to these petitioners. It's going to take 5 minutes. If we as the committee can just be informed what it is that you have established leading from our discussion. I would sincerely appreciate that.
I think, Honorable Makarakis, I'm saying to you, I've done everything. There's nothing special in this particular hearing. It's like any other hearings. And then where I'm sitting, I don't remember us at any given stage. Our recipient to the content of the petition, having any discussion whatsoever. We obtained the presentation and we had our own time now to say, now that we have got this information, what is that that we need to do? And I guess even in this one, we will follow the very same procedure that we have been following throughout. May I please ask you not to proceed on that particular request. Let's proceed with the hearing. Particularly that we have invited petitioners, we have invited stakeholders. Any other business that we wanted to deal with, let it be shelved for our own internal meeting where there are no, you know, petitioners, where there are no stakeholders invited, because they've been invited on a particular mandate to say, come and brief us about what we're going to do. Can I then ask you?
Chairperson, if I may, I need to strongly object to that point of view of yours, for the simple reason that we are here to give relief to the petitioners. We want to listen to their problems, but also we want to at the end be able to say that we are in a position to grant them some relief. Now, Chairperson, if there is still a bill before Parliament that might give solution to the petitioners, and if there is already court judgment which is going to put us in the position where there might be a violation of the division of powers, it would be our duty as the Petitions Committee to inform these petitioners that we can give them a better solution under different circumstances. But as it is now, we're going to hear the petitioners. They're going to put their faith in us, and we're going to end up saying to them that pending the bill and pending this, we cannot help you. I don't want the petitioners to be in that position.
It is unfortunate, Honorable McGregor. We can't preempt the outcome of the hearing. We must proceed with the hearing and do it then arrive at where you are at an appropriate time. You know that the procedure in the hearing is for us to listen, gather the facts, ask for clarity, and satisfy ourselves, and go and meet on our own and have the discussion on whatever we wanted to discuss. Can I then proceed in that particular procedure? I'm now going to call on the petitioner. All of us, as you will be presenting to the committee, Mr. Franz, Christo Franz, and the stakeholders, you have to start by telling us who you are, what your responsibility is, and then try as much as you can not to misrepresent facts, because misrepresenting facts in front of the committee is an offense, and you might be prosecuted for that. So we are believing that all of you are presenting before the Committee of Parliament, which deemed to have been believed that you have been taken an oath. We are going to request you to give us facts as they are, accurate as it is, and then the committee will be positioned to help you where they can, to help any other stakeholders where they can. Can I then invite you to take the platform? Maybe just before that, just to quickly give you an opportunity to know the members who are here, coming from the committee, starting with myself. My name is Tamra Otovizan. I'm the chair of the Select Committee on Petitions and Executive Undertakings. I'm hailing from Limpopo. It's where I come from. Honorable, my one.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, President. My name is Tabiso Wana, a permanent delegate of the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, Deputy Minister and petitioners. My name is George Mifalakis. I am a permanent delegate from the Free State.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Bronwyn Inglis, permanent delegate from Gauteng.
Thank you very much, and we've got a reasonable size of staff members today, including the legal unit. I'm sure they will just show by the raise of hands that who they are. Off you go. And we can quickly do it from this side of the Deputy Minister House. With our colleague, of course.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Chairperson and my honorable members. And the House at large. My name is Robert Bapel. I'm the Deputy Minister for Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, responsible for traditional affairs. And I've got my team from the officials here, led by Mr. Troy.
Thank you very much. Whip of the committee, Dadem Tete, you're welcome. We are just about to start there. Over to you, Mr. Christo Fran.
Thank you, Jameson. My name is Christo Fran. I am from Sahara Association of Tribe Authority, situated in the 24 of us. Few college schools in the Western Cape, in the Darkenstein municipality. I'm currently the chairperson and CEO of the Provincial Association of Traditional Leaders. I'm also on the Tribal Authority for our mission station, which existed since 1852. And I'm also, we're also dealing with land claims in that area. And yes. Honorable Chairperson, members of the NCOP and the delegates, I prepared a document for this hearing. I firstly would like to know from the chairman what is the procedure in this hearing. Is it, if you say hearing, is it the questions and answers, or is it just I must present my case? And can I ask also answers for the premier, or how does it work in this year?
The opportunity we are giving you now is for you to brief the committee about your real issues, about the remedial action you are expecting from the NCOP. And the members would then thereafter if there are areas that they require to be clarified, ask for clarities, and that will be done. Then we'll move to the next stakeholder who will do the same, and if there are any questions then being asked. And the committee on its own will then sit and reflect on the entire hearing and then arrive at the determinations. When you are in the hearing, if you have got questions that you would want your either the provincial or national government to answer, in the middle of your presentation, we'll put those questions. They will then answer them at the appropriate time. There's no, you know, one-on-one session. And because we assume that the presentation before us is your principal presentation, we expect you to do the briefing in less than 12 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
The Chairperson, we are fully honored to present our case to the for acceptance of honorable members on the provincial house of the traditional leaders from Western Cape on behalf of the communities we serve. Chairperson, we are the provincial house of traditional leaders for the Western Cape is an umbrella body on provincial level representing the traditional authorities, traditional council, traditional houses in our various community, mainly on mission stations. Our house with our current members is a chapter 12 institution. It is the only constituted institution that may deal with traditional matters or issues related to traditional matters on provincial level in the Western Cape in terms of Article 212.2 of the Constitution. Our participation in this meeting, in this hearing, Since time immemorial, our traditional indigenous communities suffered under the racist insults of the regime and Islamism. We could never rely on the courts, as the courts has become a place for the rich can, who can afford expensive lawyers. We cannot. We therefore pray that the NCOP protect us against the vicious and blatant racism insults of the lawyers or the representatives, and demand respect afforded to us by our constituted democracy. In going further, we must make it clear and request that the NCOP protect our rights as entrenched in the Constitution with our point one. Our traditional authorities and provincial laws of traditional leaders for the Western Cape, the institution and state in a row, for traditional leadership are recognized by the Constitution, and our role is that we may function. The court must apply custom minimum. That is recognition point 2111, Mr. Trevor. Then point two, to deal with traditional matters on issues related to traditional matters, the national government or provincial government may provide for establishment of a provincial house of traditional matters for Western Cape, which is the point in dispute. The provincial government position is that we do not exist because we can only exist by legislation. An act that determines who may serve on the provincial house of the traditional leaders for the Western Cape, for how long and what is their functions. Our position, that is a real position of what we derive from the court and everything. Our position is that first, there is a customary common law that determines who must serve on the provincial house of the traditional for the Western Cape, for how long their functions. Which is that the traditional authorities at local level make those determinations. Now, the court says the judge also said, there must be some law. But there is a law. It is the same like the political parties. The branches decide who must be the premier, who must be the president. So we also have in our tradition, traditional structure, the local authority. At the grassroots level, they decide who must be on the, there is a law, there is a customary law. Secondly, the provincial house of traditional leaders of Western Cape and its tribe, these traditional authorities, perform a function or exercise of power in terms of the Constitution 2012, or the Mission Station Act, Municipal Structures Act, and Act 41-2003. It is therefore an organ of state in terms of the definition of an organ of state in Article 239. The provincial government dispute the provincial house of traditional leaders for the Western Cape constitutional status, power and function, and failed with the interim constitution and is still finished with the final constitution to fulfill its constitutional obligation. And what I must add is if there is a dispute between organs of state and provincial level, then only constitution may resolve the dispute in terms of constitution. The provincial government must satisfy the dispute in the constitution in terms of Article 167.4, which says only the constitutional court may decide disputes between organs of state in the national or provincial sphere concerning the constitutional status, powers or function of any of those organs of state. And it is clear that the provincial government don't go to the constitution. They use a court and they use every means to not accept our traditional views on the provincial. Fourthly, unfinished business. Now we said that in terms of the interim constitution article 181, the premier was supposed to establish a provincial as a traditional leader each premier 6 months after the premier is elected or appointed. Now, she didn't do it. Now, in terms of the constitution, there is something like unfinished business before parliament. Now, we assume or we can say that that is unfinished business because the premier didn't establish the provincial. So there was a constitutional obligation by the provincial government to accept members from the provincial house of traditional leaders and then establish by legislation a provincial house of traditional leaders with the interim constitution, I think it's Article 187. the provincial government failed its constitutional obligation in terms of constitutional because they didn't know, the government know, the national government was even know that there is unfinished business, they didn't seduce this provincial house. It obviously became unfinished in this business before Parliament. The provincial government and the department are not dealing with traditional matters and issues related to traditional matters. The provincial government or the national government may establish the provincial as a traditional leaders. The problem that we have in our communities is to deal with traditional matters and issues with traditional matters is a function of the traditional communities, the traditional authorities, and the provincial are the traditional leaders on provincial level. Now, how does the premier or the provincial government on provincial level or on local level deal with issues related to traditional matters or traditional issues? Because it is a law that it is entrenched in all the especially for the Luna towns in the second election of the provincials, that whenever there is a decision or law or anything that have an effect on the decisions of the community, then that must be consulted with the community. But for the community, you have the traditional authorities, you have leadership. So there's no consultation with any of our communities on these matters. The provincial government and its department is not dealing with traditional matters and issues related to traditional matters. The provincial government or national government may establish the provincial laws. Article 41 of the Constitution provides that 41 principle of court of government and intergovernmental relations. Point 1. All spheres of government and all orders of state within each sphere must not assume a power or function except those conferred on them in terms of the constitution. So it's clear that the provincial government or provincial level, they're dealing with themselves with issues which we must deal with. It's either we on the provincial or the tribal authorities or the communities. And then, Mr. Chairman, the common law provides that if an applicant or a respondent is not represented in the High Court or in the courts, then their judgment is null and void and of no consequence because of a fair hearing doctrine. There is a case, I don't have everything, but there is a case where person went to court and he wasn't even able to represent him, and something happened and he went to court again, and then the judge said that the person didn't have a representation in the previous case, so that some case was not a fair hearing because he didn't have lawyers or advocates to represent him. Then the person, the position that the payment takes is I read in the certification of the Constitution, and it says that undermining traditional leadership by the horizontal application of the Bill of Rights, which is discrimination. But before I get there, I have something else in the European. The provincial government is discriminated against our culture, religion, race or color by one, not accepting the members of the provincial house, not accepting the members as the members of other provincial houses of traditional leaders were accepted before an establishing act was legislated in number 2, allowing us an opportunity to deal with traditional matters or issues related to traditional matters on provincial and local level as other provinces. The other 6 provinces, for example, have provincial and traditional leaders, and they deal with provincial, they deal with issues related with traditional matters. Now, we don't have the chance, and they don't allow us the chance or an opportunity to have a say in matters concerning our traditions and our communities and everything that is connected with traditional issues. The the provincial house, the provincial government must consult its organs of state with the members in the house, like the Bill was consulted in other provinces before the establishing legislation is enacted. So before you write on the establishing act, it must first, the members must first be in the, on the house, so that with a bill for the establishment of the provincial house is written, it must be consulted with those people, so that they can consult with the traditional authorities and with the traditional communities. Now, the last point, or the second last point, is the mining of the traditional leadership by the horizontal application of the Bill of Rights. Now, the Bill of Rights, Section 9, equality, it clearly says that everybody is equal for the law and everybody is equal protection of the law, and equalities include the full enjoyment and all rights and freedoms, and that they may not discriminate. And this deals now with discrimination, Mr. Chairman. But it's clear to us is that the provincial government propagate or disseminate an idea which propounds that our black Khoisan tribe in the race in the Western Cape is either inferior to the black Zulu, Khoisa, Venda, Sotho tribes in the other provinces, but they are provincial houses in their traditional authorities, or they are superior to us. Okay, then the discrimination it provides that prohibited grounds, and the prohibited grounds that we feel is that there's discrimination against our race, ethnic, social, religion, color, language, and religion. And that the government is not allowed to discriminate against us. The provincial government do discriminate against prohibited grounds, that is race, color, ethnic origin, culture, religion, and other grounds, for example, citizenship, which causes or perpetuates systematic disadvantage or adversely affect the equal enjoyment of our tribe race in a serious manner compared to other tribes in the country. And then citizenship, and we have a right to equal citizenship in all our other tribes in the country, and we feel that it's gross discrimination. Now, in terms of the case, that was the discrimination was not intended by Judge Rogers. I don't know what the reasons he gave, but it is more or less what we want to say to the NCPD. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, I'm not sure whether you would want to immediately zoom in before we get the presentations from contractors, or do you want them to present and you deal with them concurrently? Honourable King.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry I'm a little late. I think let's get them presentation from contractors, so then we can then ask some questions or clarification.
Okay. Great. Sure. Mr. Lang from the Congress of Traditional Leaders of South Africa, also an opportunity for you to present to us. You start by introducing yourself. I might be knowing you myself, but not everybody happens to.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Aaron Lekla from Controlesa Western Cape, the chairperson of Controlesa Western Cape. Chairperson, I will be very brief. Western Cape Controlesa has two concerns about the premier of the Western Cape and the provincial government of the Western Cape. Due to the fact that we have tried to engage on various occasions with the premier to discuss this matter, due to the fact that the previous premiers of the Western Cape has engaged with Controlesa and other stakeholders in connection with traditional leaders' affairs. Western Cape is the only province, as far as I'm concerned, who doesn't have a Department of Traditional Affairs. All traditional affairs are referred to the Department of Arts and Culture. Controller has tried to engage with the Premier in 2009 until 2014. But the Premier has refused to meet with us due to the fact that one just to want clarity on certain issues is why, what will happen with, first of all, with traditional affairs in the Western Cape. We believe that the forming of a provincial house of traditional leaders, of traditional, provincial house of traditional leaders in the Western Cape, the establishment thereof, supposed to be also to engage with other royal families as well. And there are some of them who are already being recognized by government while the Queen's son is not yet, there's an act for them to be recognized. But because, for example, you got Prince Jehau in the province here, you got some of the royal families of the Zulus who are living in the Western Cape and so on. While they're waiting for, or they have tried to engage with other stakeholders and chiefs in the province as well. But for us is the Congress of Western Cape, we have one concern as well. The establishment of a provincial of traditional leaders is very important also for Controversa, but at the end of the day, we need sort of almost a department of traditional affairs in the province, I think.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, any clarification question? Let's not fall into the trap of deliberating the content of the submission. Any questions that you want to be clarified from the two petitioners, and supplementary petitioner. Honorable Luana.
Thank you, Chairperson. This issue, I don't know whether when we are seeking clarities, you will say, no, don't talk that, because it's overlapping. As much as you are talking, it will overlap in terms of discussing. But my clarity, I'm just from the Chairperson, that is clear that here in the Western Cape, the authorities here, they don't want to see the House of Traditional House, that's all. Secondly, when I read, I've gone through this document. This document is talking about the commission.
So that one is still going to be presented by the owner. Petitioner and the supplementary by the Congress of Traditional Leaders.
Sorry, Professor. Secondly, there's a verdict in court that I've gone through when they are referring to 1956. So, the verdict of the court is saying that they don't see that it could be a house of traditional leaders in this province. And to make a person that the contravening of the constitution. And it's undermining the...
I'm sure you are deliberating.
Yes. Can
you if there's anything...
Ask, okay.
If there's anything that you are not certain of what they have presented to them,
you
are deliberating.
You are deliberating. You
are deliberating. I don't know what it could be. That's our procedure. We have agreed to that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to ask from the traditional leaders from the West Cape, thinking either Contralera of the or the presenter, that when they engage the provincial Western Cape province, did, because I know that in the Western Cape there are cultural and other things, did they ask who are the owners of those cultural things if they are not traditional leaders? Secondly, did they ask from the Premier that if there are no traditional leaders, who was here before them or before these people, was that this province was under the municipality from ever, if they are saying that they were not traditional leaders? Did they ask that this province was owned by the whites or the people from Jankwan Ripi or whatever? There were no people here before. Did they ask from the Premier for that? Thank you very much, sir.
I'm sure you have heard it. What they are saying, when you engage with the provincial government, what are they saying about the custodians of the culture in the province? Are they saying... Yes.
I think our power of CV will be more able to answer that, because when we engaged and we spoke to the Mr. Chairperson, I wasn't there in 1983, I was a junior, I wasn't on the level that I was now. Now there was person that engaged with the Premier, and what they told me is that the Premier said that we don't have traditions, and we run out of these small communities, and they don't want to deal with us. They can only deal with us in terms of our culture, and we must form a council or something like that. And they cannot, they cannot accept as a traditional. As for us, plain simple, that we don't have traditions, and they don't recognize us. But I must also inform the NCOP that this thing leads to another thing, and it leads to us being on the, municipal councils. The interim constitution provides that we are ex officio.
Now, because it's question time, answer exactly what they've asked.
No.
Your presentation has said it. Now you are answering questions.
Yes, I'm answering questions.
If you don't have an answer, you said, we have never asked, we don't know.
The chairperson, I must explain that, because we are also dealing with land claims. And in the province, we want our land to be registered in the trust, which is the traditional authorities. Now, the provincial, I assume they are under the DA, they told us in many mission statements, we will not give you your land back unless you form a CPA. If you want if you want your land back in the traditional authority, they are not going to allow it. And now we compare to the military, and that adds with the question. The provincial government don't want to recognize us as traditional authorities in our provincial structure.
Is there any augmenting answer?
Yes, Chair. To answer that question is very simple. The previous has engaged with Controlesa, but since 2009, the SPMA has refused to engage with any traditional leaders regarding that fact. Lastly, also, they recognize the culture and the cultural communities, but don't recognize the custodians of that culture.
Honorable Makhatis.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is, Mr. France, am I right? Did you receive the letter of the 26th of March last year from Minister Anton Riddell? And the reason why I'm asking this is it's quite important.
What date is the letter?
26th of March was an hour back that we received. I'm not sure I can give a copy to the petitioner as well if he wants to see it. That's the letter of 26th of March. I've got an extra copy here. Signed and sent by Minister Anton Bredell to you directly. And in that letter, I would actually like to speak to this letter, because it puts out a few things very clearly. The petitioner mentioned that there is legislation, and I understand the concept that there is perhaps some other form of legislation, but I want to refer him to the Constitution. I want to ask him what he understands under this, if I may be responded to. The Constitution says national legislation may provide for a role for traditional leadership as an institution for local government level on matters affecting local communities. I would like to know from Mr. France what he understands by the Constitution saying that national legislation must be in place. That's my second question. The first question was if he received this letter from Minister Bedell. And then I also want to ask him if it has been explained to him that the province cannot do anything unless there is legislation from a national government level. I see that, and I don't want to jump in front of the Deputy Minister, but I see from his presentation that he is speaking to that as well. If Mr. France can just give me an answer. Has he received the letter? Has the content been properly explained to him? And what they then understand under the concept of national legislation? Because from what I understand, it's not a piece of legislation coming from the provincial level. That power to give authority to the province has to come from an act that is established by Parliament. That's national legislation. So in other words, if I understand correctly, and I want Mr. France to engage me on this, and to say if he disagrees with me, but if I understand correctly, there must first be a bill from national Parliament enabling the province to act, and then only can the province act. So until now, if the province acts, they are actually unlawfully acting. I would just like to ask Mr. France if he agrees with that, and if he doesn't, why? Thank you.
Chairperson, yes, we have the same to deal with this issue in the hearing. Getting my Afrikaans praat hier, Mr. Chairperson, we raak het op ik hier. We raak het op ik hier, dank. Die positie van die provincial government is dat national legislation may provide for the establishment of houses of traditional means. Maar daar staat niet geschreven hier aan, en dat is wat we zien. Daar staat geschreven de national of provincial legislator may provide for the establishment of provincial. Je moet verstaan, die interim grondwet, die finale grondwet, die finale grondwet, die interim grondwet, van allemaal die provincial houses, de establishment, dus de establishment, die interim grondwet. Als die interim grondwet wegvalt, dan waaraan gaan die provincial houses zelfs nog beter bestaan. Dat is een van de redenen hoekom die provincial of national legislation niet provide for the establishment of the different leaders. Nou, daar staan mij in. Was het daarover bijgehaald in dat die tijdskundige minister gelezen heeft?
Can I ask you to do me a favor?
Yes.
When there is a question, just answer the question. Okay. Because if you don't answer it, then it makes the member to come back again on the very same
okay.
Because the question is, did you receive the letter?
Yes, I
did. Did you understand what is the implications of saying that we need a national legislation before any other thing? They need that understanding, whether you understand or not.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have a question, but when en wat ons geaardigd in die hof, die uitkomst daarvan, dat Rodgers sê, hy die lens, hulle argument, by my argument, maar sy uitkomst was, daar moet een wet wees, daar moet een law, there must be a law, that determines how many people must be on the provincial house, who must be on the provincial house, how long must he be on the provincial house. A law in terms of an act or common law. He asked me, he didn't ask me for common law, we discussed the common law. And he asked the advocate Nazareth, and he said that there is a common law, unwritten law, our customs. That is what I understand.
Follow up, Honorable Makakis, then you'll follow Honorable Kim.
Thank you, Jesus, and I'll be very short. Meneer Frans, but I thank you for my answer. Ek verstaan u, ek ben nou op hierdie stadium. Wat ek vir u wil vra is, ek nou sê jy die brief gekry, maar is dit duidelik, verstaan ek hier echt, dat u verstaan, dat voordat die provinsie iets kan doen, daar eerst een nationale wet in plek is. Met ander woorde, die eerste actie, na erkenning toe vir julle, sal eerst wees een wet van die parlement af, en dan kan die provinsie eerst regeer. Die provinsie kan nie iets doen, as hy nie magte kry van die wetgeving uit nie. Anders is hy absoluut onwettig. So, dan moet die wetgeving wees, nationaal, in plek, volgens die grondwet, wat dit moontlik maak vir die provinsie om te regeer. En dit is waantoe een mens op die ou einde wil. Sal jy met my saamstem met die stelling?
Okay. Ja, so hier die instituut, dan ons het geaargeen, en dat is echt te raar, soos baie vriendelijk, dan ons het wel geaargeen. Rosa is om my gevraag, hoekom het dit sê die provinsie, die provinciale regering, hoekom maak jy die nationale regering verskil dan, en hoekom lyk nie die drie? Toe sê ek, rechter, destijds, was ik niet een senior traditioneel hier. Ik ben nog een junior. Ik ben nog een jaar bij een paar maandjes. Maar over de kerk daar niet daar is. Maar wat er echt voor ons is wat hier, maar ik wil dan zien wat er niet gewoon is anders. Nestel op provincie lidswijze. Microwijk, of dat zei zo. Zo die provinciale, dan mag de provinciale ook iets. Of dat ik een nationale weet, een van die twee. Zo die premier is die premier te kiezen. Maar ons voelt dat, hoe komen we anders behandelen als die andere zwarte tribes? Ons wat voor zijn, wat is zo behandeld? Zo ons voor die provincial government moet voor onze provincial education maken. Maar als die provincial government natuurlijk niet wil hier, maar dan kan een aanvraag met zo'n NGP om maar die weet, om eerst voor ons te ervaren, eerst een stuk, eerst die aanvraag. En dan het normaal, het is niet wetgeregeld.
Honorable Kinder.
Thank you, I would ask from the presenter, or also from Contralesa, that the Western Cape government didn't recognize them, didn't mobilize themselves to show them that there are traditional leaders in the Western Cape. And they also mentioned that the president can participate in the ward or whatever, ward council and other things. If they recognize who are those people, who are those, that they ask them, who are those that are supposed to participate in the present in the local government or whatever, if they manage to mobilize themselves to show them without those laws and all those things, constitution, that they show them, because as far as I know, there are traditional leaders in Western Cape, they mentioned that. Then if not, they ask the premier, then they cannot, if they are clearly traditional, they cannot vote for Western Cape, because they don't recognize them, that they are there. If they ask that question to the premier, well, they know that there are no traditional leaders, then therefore, the traditional leaders are there, they ask that question, therefore, if you don't organize us in the Western Cape, we are not going to participate to anything that is in the Western Cape. They ask that question. Or they mobilize themselves to show the world or the South Africa that they are traditional leaders in the Western Cape.
Mr. Masalar. Jefferson, thank you. Yes, like I said, the premier of the province will not engage, or never engage at all with traditional leaders in this province. She has referred us in 2013 to Mr. Ivan Meyer, who was the former MEC of Arts and Culture. And hand thereof, now she referred us back to the then afterwards to Mrs. Mombo, and then now to the MEC of Arts and Culture. Because they have no Department of Traditional Affairs. There's no MEC really for Traditional Affairs in this province. Chapter 12 of the Constitution of South Africa, Section 211 and 212 of the Constitution of South Africa gives clear indication and direction for the Premier to recognize traditional leaders and institutions in the provinces as well. And she failed to do that.
Honorable Wana.
I'm sure we should move towards wrapping that clarity so that we move to the Deputy Minister in this moment.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is going to the Chairperson of Contralesa. Did you manage to go to the National Office of Contralesa and check this problem, and what was the outcome of that? Thank you.
We have discussed it already in 2011 as well as 2012 in the NEC of Contralesa, but the Western Cape government governs on the constitution of the Western Cape, and that constitution recognizes not traditional leaders, only cultural institutions.
Honorable Makharis, I'm sure you will be the last before I wrap up there.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is not a question, but perhaps just a comment in the passing by, is that if we interpret the Constitution,
I think it's of
critical importance.
Can I ask you not to do the commenting, because we are dealing with that clarity.
It's more a point of order.
Principle agreed by the
Constitution. I know, Chairperson, yes. It's more a point of order.
Okay.
I'm asking that if we interpret the Constitution, and this is not only for the committee, it's for the petitioners and the departments as well. If we look at the Constitution and we interpret the Constitution,
it would be good if we can interpret it holistically and in context, not being selective when we write the Constitution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just to check on this one or two points, Mr. Brands. In your petition, you called yourself the CEO of Provincial House of Traditional Leaders, Western Cape.
Am I correct?
Yes, Mr.
How did you arrive at being in this position of an institution that you are saying is not existing?
No, I'm not saying it existing. I'm saying it exists in terms of our customary law. The previously we don't exist because there is no legislation.
The Provincial House of Traditional Leader only exists in terms of the law. And you are saying you are the CEO of that particular provincial. I'm asking, how did you get into a position of an entity that is not existing in the province, as you are presenting with us now?
Chairperson, other people dispute our constitutional existence, our powers and our functions. We don't dispute it. We say we exist in terms of our customary law, in terms of our institution, status and role for traditional leaders, that is for the provincial house, for traditional authority, is recognized, does exist, in terms of our customary laws.
So in a way you are saying that the CEO of the Provincial House of Traditional Leaders outside the framework of the law, is it what you are saying to me?
No, I'm saying it's inside the framework of the law in terms of our customary laws because the Constitution allows it.
The second one, there is this High Court ruling that you were part of. In the light of that High Court ruling and the petition, you petitioned the NCOP. What do you expect us to do? To set aside the High Court decision, or what do you expect out of us?
No, we don't actually want to set aside the High Court judgment, because with a judgment in the order comes the arguments. And what we say, Chairperson must remember that we appeal to the appeal court also. And the two judges said they agree with the High Court. Now, the High Court said that there must be a law. And we agree with it. How, when, and how long must we be there? So, but before you write the law, you look at the customary law, the common law. And that is the
understanding
law.
You understand the judgment
is
that cannot be set aside by the NCOP.
The judgment is actually helping us, and because there must be a law, but there is a law.
Thank you. I think this then concluded the clarity seeking from the petitioner and supplementary petitioner. We will then move to respondent, stakeholders. On the direct petitions, it's directed to the provincial government. The provincial government was invited. This hearing was supposed to have taken place last week. And the premier of the Western Cape requested a rescheduling on the basis of short notice. And we looked into the request. We granted the request for rescheduling, and we rescheduled the meeting for today. In the letter of asking for rescheduling, the provincial government sneak into a presentation
in a way, responding to the petition. And we did not entertain that part, we just rescheduled the meeting. We request them to appear before the committee today. And on Monday, they sent us another letter, which then say both the MEC for local government and for arts and culture, they are declining jointly with the premier to appear before the committee. We have since looked into the matter and asked the legal unit. Therefore, the matter of not them appearing, it's not going to affect us not to proceed with the matter. We are going to deal with them in the proper context of the letter, but for now, we are notifying you that they've declined to attend. We will now invite the department led by Deputy Minister Fela to
Chairperson, just on a point, I have, as a member of the committee, just a request for you to ask the legal department to, in a process, when you deal with that matter, to establish, and I would like us to get a legal opinion on this, to establish that, sorry, the line is being broken, frankly, to establish that, in light thereof, that constitution required national legislation. And in the absence of national legislation, whether the Western Cape provincial government, not having jurisdiction without such legislation, are indeed a party to this petition, I would just like to get clarity from the legal department as to, in the absence of legislation, whether they are in fact a party to this petition. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Makhelekes. I'm sure I said, what I was explaining now was that don't be surprised if you don't see the provincial government. They've declined to attend. Other issues relating to their reasoning failing to attend will be dealt with when we deliberate the whole issue. Can I ask that we proceed with the hearing and then we then have, you know, our time to reflect on this other, the legality and illegality. We all know that this committee is acting in terms of the constitution. We don't ask anyone favor to attend. We are acting in terms of the constitution. Can we not be tempered and, you know, be hampered by the declinement of the premier not to appear, and we then proceed with their stakeholders, and we will then deliberate on this at the appropriate time. Yes, go ahead, my honourable one.
Chairperson, there's one thing that I want to put on record. The letter that was coming from the Western Province, they didn't articulate in terms of the law or the bill. They articulated other reasons of not coming. So I don't want to delay this meeting that they are not there, then we have to look for the advisor. If they were sure about their lawyer that will cover them, they should explain it in their letter of apology of not coming to this meeting.
Can we then proceed on the hearing? Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs led by Deputy Minister Morel. Over to you, Honourable Deputy Minister, and thank you for coming.
Thank you, Chairperson of the committee, Dade Tovejani, to all Honourable Members of Parliament, to the petitioners and those supporting them present in the House, and officials from the Department. Thank you very much for the opportunity given to us. Chair, indeed, you are here to listen to the petition, and you have afforded us an opportunity to hear the motivation of the petition itself, which was submitted within the rights of any citizen in South Africa to can do so, to petition any organ of state on whatever matter that they feel strong on. And indeed, the hearings here is more to hear what are the arguments for, and then also then to give cases and then some responses in some of the arguments. So the department has then felt that we will then give more a background of where we are as to help you when you consider the letter further, because today is the hearing, there's no confusion on the letter. We take it that it's a hearing where statements are presented, information is presented, and we're also coming to give a background. When the committee feels once more to invite us on any detail for any further clarity, we'll still be available to do so beyond the hearings of today. Chair, indeed, we are governed by the Constitution of South Africa in dealing with matters of national leadership. Chapter 12 is quite descriptive on that particular issue. Secondly, we have the law, contrary to some notion that there's no national legislation. There is a national legislation. It's called the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act No. 41 of 2003 and regulations thereof. So there is a law that is existing. Does the law go further? Obviously, that is another matter for engagement. And in the law, Chapter 2 does describe Section 2 on Chapter 2 that of the law that I've just quoted does recognize traditional communities. A community may be recognized as a traditional community if it, A, is subject to a system of traditional leadership in terms of that community's customs, and B, observes a system of customary law. So the law then does give that particular prescription, but it's dependent on whether there is a system of traditional leadership in that particular community. In this case, Chair, we'll try and give a scenario of what happens in the Western Cape where there's no house. And secondly, it's two provinces that do not have provincial houses. Gauteng is the second one. And I think that background will therefore help you as members to consider the issues beforehand, as we consider this very important petition that is before us. And then obviously after the presentation by the scholar, which I'll, as the indulgence said, to allow him to present on that particular background, I'll then come back and then round it up. Thank you very much. That's the Abraham story.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll be very brief. I'll try and summarize the presentation as opposed to going slide to slide. Chair, basically, as the Deputy Minister correctly said, that we are here to assist the committee to come to a conclusion on this matter. That is what we will attempt to do. That will give a broader overview of the Western Cape as a whole in terms of traditional leadership matters. The Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act make provision for the establishment of the Commission on Traditional Leadership Disputes and Claims. The commission, which was commonly known as Nkapo Commission then, was established, and its term of office came to an end, and a new commission was established, which its term of office came to the end last year, and it has been extended until end of December next year. The purpose of the commission is to investigate claims and disputes of traditional leadership. Now, that was by means of a background. Now, coming to the situation in Western Cape. The Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act makes a clear provision on how you qualify to be recognized as a traditional leader. If you read the definition of a traditional leader, starting from a headman, senior headman or headwoman, a senior traditional leader, principal traditional leader, and a king, it gives definition of what is that person. And as you go to the act, as the Deputy Minister has quoted, before you can be recognized as a traditional leader, you must have a community that is recognized, because you cannot be a traditional leader without a community, because you must lead that community. That is what the framework act says at the moment. I'll talk about the bill at a later stage to make comments on it. But as I've indicated, the commission, in the Western Cape, the commission received 29 claims of recognition for traditional leadership. The 29 claims were, two of them were that of kingships, one was that of headmen, and 26 were that of senior traditional leadership. Chairperson, the commission investigated all those claims and established that these people who lodged the claims were not necessarily traditional leaders, no kings. But they are the people who are practicing their cultures and customs. Some of them preside over initiation schools. Some of them do take care of, they resolve conflict within the communities. And therefore that does not qualify a person to be a traditional leader. So a report of the commission indicated that most of these claimants came from other provinces, Western Cape, long ago. They came to work and ultimately found themselves having to stay here. And therefore, they organized themselves in that particular category. But not necessarily that they are traditional leaders. So, Chairperson, the commission recommended that all those 39 claims be declined, which recommendation was forwarded, according to what the law prescribed, to the Western Cape provincial government, and so it was communicated to all claimants who were affected at the time. However, Chairperson, now coming to the issue at hand, we have a little bit of a challenge to a large extent. Not that I'm attacking anybody in the house, but I need to mention this, that sometimes the use of the word chief had a potential of causing some confusion somewhere. So there are people who may use the word chief to refer to themselves as senior traditional leaders. There are those who use the word chief because they don't know your name, but they want to talk to you. So because they don't know who you are, they will just say chief, and you respond in that way, chief as well. Now, if you refer to me as chief, and mostly most people refer to me as such, then I end up thinking that I'm indeed a traditional leader. That's another notion, Chairperson, that the commission established, because in that process, a certain person said he was recognized by his worker, by his employer, sorry, as a chief. And therefore, because his worker viewed him, his stature was that of a chief and all of that, he therefore lodged a claim for chieftaincy as a result of that particular thing. So, that is what we're saying. To a large extent, the usage of that word become loosely translated to mean that somebody may be a traditional leader without the necessary steps. Remember, Chairperson, there is a provision on how you become recognized as a traditional leader. Obviously, you must have a royal family, because a traditional leader is the face of that royal family. And the royal family is the institution that keeps that particular traditional leader. Now, Chairperson, coming to this, there is a national house of traditional leaders, and there are provincial houses of traditional leaders in all provinces except Western Cape and Gauteng. The reason being that in Gauteng we have two recognized senior traditional leaders. Now, Chair, if the committee could understand, I'm using recognized senior traditional leaders, because there must be a recognition first before a person could be a member of a certain structure. So, in Gauteng, we don't have a provincial house. But those two members are serving in the National House of Traditional Leaders, because the Act of the National House, Act 22 of 2009, makes provision that in the case where there is no provincial house, but there are recognized traditional leaders who do not qualify to form a provincial house, those the chairpersons of those traditional councils that operate like a local house automatically are deemed to be members of the National House. Now, the chairperson of a traditional council is a recognized senior traditional leader in terms of the Framework Act that the Deputy Minister quoted from. So that is why when those two members serving in the National House, though there is no provincial house, but by virtue of their operating as a local house, being the traditional Congress. The two senior traditional leaders who are chairpersons of that, they qualify to be members of the National House and they're serving there. Now, in other provinces we don't have problems because there are houses of traditional leaders and others are even local houses of traditional leaders established by peoples in terms of the relevant provincial piece of legislation. Now, coming to the Western Cape, there isn't a legislation that established the provincial house. The reason being that, to the best of our knowledge, and as a result of the findings of the commission, there isn't any recognized senior traditional leader, because the act of the National House, for instance, says for you to qualify to be a member of the National House, you must be a recognized senior traditional leader. Unless there is evidence that there are not enough senior traditional leaders in that particular province, then a headman can serve in the National House. But at the moment, Western Cape doesn't have recognized senior traditional leaders to form part of the National House. Now, neither they don't even have a law establishing the provincial house because they aren't recognized traditional leaders in the Western Cape in terms of the findings of the commission. And before that, they were not recognized senior traditional because you establish a house where they are recognized senior traditional leaders. Now, coming to the issue at hand, the Department of the Ministry has introduced the bill in Parliament, which covers all traditional leaders in the country, including the Khoi and the San leadership, which we believe, Chairperson, and would want to request that if the bill can be speeded up, it will, indeed, once enacted, it will have that particular influence that the Western Cape must promulgate a legislation which will cover traditional leaders in the province. We will have to advise in that particular aspect, but currently, Chairperson, in our records, we don't have such. So that is what, that's the advice, or that is our presentation to the committee at the moment. Thank you, Chairperson.
And welcome. Let me round up by saying, therefore, that the commission, when it was listening to the claims at the time, none of those claims succeeded in the Western Cape out of the 29. Majority of them, of the 29, 26 were by Africans who had settled in the Western Cape. There were very few from the Khoi and the San that came forward to claim at the point. Now, the new law, therefore, has recognized, therefore, that there could have been an issue of void, right? And therefore, let's then establish a recognition of this very important community, the Khoi and the San. Having recognized them, then the law will then begin to have hearings around who is a legitimate senior traditional leader at that point. Because everyone currently, they're all coming forward and say, I am. The indigenous Africans had to go through that too, where we had to re-establish the search through lineage, royalty, the establishment of that, and then indeed where positive results emerged, they were all recognized. So the advisory council will then be established immediately after the enactment of the law, which will then begin to say, all those who claim lineage and royalty, please come forward with whatever evidence that we may then find and help us go through all those issues. Indeed, we believe that in the Western Cape there will emerge a group of traditional, senior traditional councils, and also the Northern Cape and the Free State and Eastern Cape, because they seem, the Khoi and the San are spreading mainly in those particular areas, only in Gauteng, where they will then emerge. And once they are recognized as authentic and processed, then definitely the house will then be established here based on the number of establishments. And Gauteng might even increase also. The Gauteng law says five traditional senior traditional councils must be recognized before it could be a house. That is Gauteng law. The Western Cape, it will have to come up with a law at that particular point in time, based on whether it's three or it's two or it's five, whatever is the law, that obviously the law will go through public hearings, the people will participate at the end. And it definitely will end up having that particular house at the provincial, and it will also have local houses, and then indeed it will have a full representation at the national level. So I don't know whether therefore the hearings here as presented will then begin to take all those particular factors into consideration, look at the totality of the picture, where we are, but also what is it that is the future is before me, which is a hope and indeed a determination that this community, which was left out in the past, will definitely be recognized as part of the legit communities that exist and who do have cultural and customary laws and activities and communities that will still be determined through another process once the law has been enacted. And therefore, we are not coming here as government to say, we are closing all the doors, you say, an opportunity is becoming, and indeed we hope therefore that once the bill is processed, we will definitely be coming to a conclusion where all South Africans enjoy all their rights to practice their customary activities and programs wherever they are identified and organized. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister. Honorable Makhalakisa. So we are now in a clarity-seeking question.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me first thank the Deputy Minister and the Department for this presentation, which I think very clearly sets out the current legal position. I also want to thank him for the efforts in the current legislation that's on its way already at Parliament. Because I think it is important that we give recognition to our traditional leaders. It's part of our participatory democracy, but provided that it happens within the correct legal framework. My first question is, the commission that you referred to, just the full name, the Commission on Traditional Leadership Disputes and Claims, was that a national commission? Or was it a provincial one? Because from what I understand, I just need confirmation. From what I understand, it was a national one that considered claims from all the provinces. I just need confirmation in that. My second question, and that will be my last question, is that you say that there currently are no recognized traditional leaders in the Western Cape. Now, if a Western Cape government was to establish, under the current circumstances, a provincial house of traditional leaders, what will the effect be? We establish in the province a house, provincial house of traditional leaders, but there are no formally recognized traditional leaders. What will the effect be? How will that house look at the current stage? You can put that to me into perspective. Thank you.
Maybe before the Deputy Minister and your team responding, can I put it this way, that when we are in the clarity-seeking questions moment, only members are the one to ask those questions, not petition stakeholders, but only members. Thank you very much. Honorable Tundi, I'm sure, can you note them so that they raise one to...
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, the Minister, for this presentation. What I want to know, Deputy Minister, I know that there was a commission, but who's supposed to recognize or to submit a traditional leader? Is it a commission or a community or that particular royal house to say this is a leader or a headman or a chief? And if therefore, I'll get that from you. Then what about the community, as you recognize that they are communities, that is not communities. What is their duty in the Western Cape? What is their role in the Western Cape if they are not recognized? Because it means they are not recognized. If you cannot recognize their leadership, then what is going to happen? And what is their role in the Western Cape? Thank you very much.
Mr. Jay, thank you. I have a question to Mr. Franz. I see he said that he did receive the letter from, can I continue? He said they did receive the letter from Minister Anton Brindel, dated the 26th of 3rd, 2015, on a previous question from Honourable Mikolaikis. I just would like to find out from Mr. Frans, if he did receive this letter, which was dated the 26th of the 3rd, in that letter, the Minister states that the conduct of using provincial and Western Cape logos is unlawful and must cease immediately. However, we received a petition form dated a month later on the 20th of the 4th, where again the same logos are used. So can I get clarification from Mr. Frans why he did this in contravention of the request from the Minister? Thank you.
Honourable Helbrecht, we are now on the department side. Thank you very much for your understanding. Honourable Manopoulos and followed by Honourable Wana. Honourable Tumbi, a moment, can you proceed overseeing the question session for a moment? Also.
Thank you, Shin. I hope just want to hope that my apology was recorded. I certainly like to welcome the presentation by the department under the leadership of the Deputy Minister, Babela, and also mentioned that we were looking forward to the processing of the bill. I noticed that during the presentation that there's acknowledgement that the Western Cape said most of the traditional leadership here came as a result because of the migrant to the Western Cape. So I want to check whether then the process of recognizing them by using benchmarking the Gauteng way of recognizing the traditional leaders. Since when we are aware that Gauteng originality there's no tradition, most of the migrants come from somewhere and then their leaders where they are give them right to be leaders where they are in Gauteng. So for instance in Cape Town, I mean Western Cape, instances that during the processes, I understand I'll put in the department in the predicament. You might be able to respond or not. Instead of that, we recognize that some of the Khoisan might move from other provinces come here. During the outcome of the commission or during the process, was it ever mentioned that our leaders, for example, from Northern Cape or Free State, recognize that we are leaders here. So that's why we want to dream that to be recognized in the Western Cape. To me, it says that there is a chief and seat somewhere who are recognizing them, who can provide support to them. So to show that the legitimacy of them selectively recognized as a traditional leaders in the Western Cape. Thank you very much.
So this as a pity that we were not been briefed about the terms of reference in terms of the commission. Chairperson, I don't understand when a commission can say this person is an immigration coming from another. I don't know whether a king or a traditional leader is designed or born. Because today we are trying to say the commission said please call everybody and find out there was not a commission. Recognition of anybody who is a royal family is coming from the family. And to me it's a pity I'm coming from the working class. I'm coming from working class. If I'm a leader in a union, I'm a leader even if I'm in Joburg. Because the conference of the working class has elected me. That if you are a leader, should be a leader across, not to be a leader in the Eastern Cape. That's very sarcastic. And when a person, for instance, the department is saying when a person is a chief, in an amplification, as Alina called the chief in course, finish, as Alina, I'm coming from the rural area. There's no person that can say, Kagudan calls a clear team. Because there's Viva, who by this person, what happened? There are issues. Because, for instance, if you go to King, to then we are going to
Honorable one, I'm going to ask you, ask a question for them to respond. This is, you know, emotional presentation. You'll do it when we are arriving at the determination after what we have also. For now, okay, cool down for a moment. Okay, over to your Honorable Deputy Minister.
No, no, thank you. Just to clarify the issues, I think the word chief in English, as I was told, I was explaining, it has its own connotations. And hence, at one point, I was into traditional leaders. Can we go to the original names that we call Hosi, Morena, Hosi, Hosi, and remove the English completely, because English was never there. In 1150. Because currently the word chief is also being used for chief inspector of the police or chief general of this and then so for chief director in the department. Chief is, I mean, we've got these directors here. Scroll is one of them, the chief director. When he gets to this high chief, it does not mean it's of royal blood. And that is why the English connotation is in that context that he was raising. It's not that the English do not have any term for us, they don't just say we're all chiefs, irrespective. And that is why even when it comes to king, they used to call our kings chiefs also. Because they either believe there was only one king or queen, which was in England. And therefore to call any other, then they then came up with the word paramount chief. So now that lost its meaning and connotation in that context. In Gosumaranahosukosi, we then said, let's go back to our original names. And I think it was in that context that he was raising it, not that they are not chief as if you are royal, or they won't call them senior traditional leaders. Then we come to the tribal commission, as was known. Just to give a bit of few examples, one or two. One of the claimants was the Amasubi. On the basis that Nkosi Langa was once arrested in KwaZulu-Natal from his own inheritance area, fresh to Robben Island. During and when he finished his term of 5 years, was then not returned back home, but was banished to a farm called Langa, where Langa Township is. That Langa Township is named after Nkosi Langa. A longer township of today. So he was banished there in a farmhouse. It was just a farmhouse at the time. But then later, when he finished the banishment, went back home. And Amasubi had a traditional house of their own royal family. Its establishment is in KwaZulu-Natal. However, during the hearings, they claimed a traditional leadership in the Western Cape. And then it was then dismissed on the basis that you are an existing traditional leadership community with the community in KwaZulu-Natal. Here, in Kusiyelo, was in Robben and then Benis, but later went back home. So you cannot then have that claim as you have a traditional community in that particular area. And indeed, if you go to Langa, the majority of these people are not Batubi speakers, it's more amateurs speaking. Therefore, that was the rationale of the commission at the time. Then also there was another one who claimed Abatembu kinship in the Western Cape. And here there is Abatembu kinship in the Eastern Cape. So then that also ought to be looked at. It was dismissed on the basis that no, the kinship exists already. It's there. So why do you want to clean it in the Western Cape? And then the commission then went further and said, of all the claimants, who are these people? They are arrivals of people who settled to come and work in the Western Cape
from the Zulu Nation, from the Matubis, from the Matuasas, who had arrived in the Western Cape. So the people who were supposed to have trained at a point, probably that would have, at a point, got a better hearing with the Khoi and the Sen. Because originally, even when you go into the history, when the settlers came in, the majority of the people had already habitated this particular space in the Western Cape and other parts were them. But unfortunately, in the cleaners, very few, if not many, did come forward. And there was no evidence before the commission to recognize any traditional community in that nature. So we hope, therefore, that the new law will then open up that particular area which was missed as an opportunity in the first round, which was then at the time when everybody and so forth. Indeed, it was a national commission that was established, but it had provincial commissioners that were also appointed by the national commission to assist in the fast-tracking of the work so that every province can then listen to its submission, however reporting to the national commission for recommendations to the minister and the premier if it was in the province and if it was the nature of the commission itself. So let me just give other background or other responses to that just to answer. It was just in the context, Mama, which don't be emotional on the issue. It's a very emotional issue, it's touchy, but we will have to apply our mind, examine all the facts and evidence before us. It is dependent on the credible evidence for us really to resolve for the number of issues.
Thank you, Jefferson. And thank you to ODM for having explained that the commission could not establish dual kingship in one country. But I'm going to start from the last question and going backward. The terms of reference of the commission are there in section 25 of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act. It does stipulate exactly what the commission is supposed to do when it investigates. But then coming to the question with regard to housing traditional leaders that they were not there, Gauteng is a bit different than Western Cape. The two senior or the two recognized senior traditional leaders, one was from Northwest, recognized there. They were recognized there long ago. So when the when the demarcation happened, or more provincial, whatever, they fell in Gauteng. That was traditional leader number one. Traditional leader number two is Nzunza Sikhulumi, who is on the side of Bronco Strait towards Witbank. He was part of Mpumalanga. And with a new demarcation, he fell into Gauteng province. So that is why Gauteng ended up having two recognized senior traditional leaders. There are quite a number who call themselves headmen and head women around Gauteng and all of that, practicing initiation and resolving some smaller disputes within themselves. But they are not recognized by government, by either Gauteng, provincial government, or national government. So that is how Gauteng ended up having two senior traditional leaders. They were from other provinces. As a result of the demarcation, they then called in Gauteng. Now, the recognition process. Chairperson, the recognition of a traditional leader, firstly, there must be a community, as I indicated earlier on. There must be a community that practices certain customs and cultures, that has a history of living as that community and recognizes a certain household or individual that this is our leadership. And within that family, they will recognize a person who will be the leader of that community. But here, coming to Western Cape, DMS has explained, there are many people who are from different communities. Therefore, Amatubi could not claim, because it's named after a Tubi traditional leader, Uti, Iwalanga in Amatubi only. And therefore, they cannot have one traditional leader, as an example. Because you find Uti Namandebele calls. And Amandebele would want to have their traditional leader. As Chair, when you're looking at the addresses of the claimants, some were staying in Flats Block 1F, Block 2, Z, whatever, whatever. I'm just making an example, Chair. But that is the real situation that was there. Therefore, Chairperson, for a traditional leader to recognize, firstly, the Maori community, that community must have practiced or must be practicing those traditions that are unique to that community. And it must have a history of having existed as a traditional community or as a community observing certain system of cultures and so on. Then thereafter it can be recognized as a traditional community. Then thereafter a leader of the community will be recognized. You don't start with a leader, you start with a community, then you come to the leader. Then thereafter you come to the jurisdiction of that particular community. Then you establish a traditional culture which will govern that particular community in terms of the custom and culture and the duties of the EC are mentioned in section 4 of the framework act. Which one is that the traditional council must do? Chairman, the yes, UGM has already responded to this one, which it was a national commission. Western Cape did not have a specific committee to deal with claims of the Western Cape. Instead, they were dealt with by the national commission, just like the claims were Free State, just like the claims were Northern Cape. They were dealt with by the national commission.
I don't know if there's any.
I think UGM has answered almost all the questions.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kimbe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just a question, but I understand that DM said there are people who are coming from all over and claiming here as chiefs. But I don't know whether he understands the history of our people. For example, I'm from the Eastern Cape. There are Amanjasi there in under Amanjasa. Because they have got community in the Amanjasa. Of course, Amanjasi there. You go to Emampondo Miseni, we have got even Bukhus, Emampondo Miseni, and the chief Utsokazi, Ngamampondo Miseni, because they have got community in that place. You go to Emampondo, where the Amanjasi are Asuka Kona, they have got their original. But in all over, in the southern Abatein, in their Ubukosi, in KwaZulu-Natal, they have given that because they have got a community in that place. Did this commission go and investigate whether those people are elected themselves or they will have communities? If therefore, that's why I was asking the question, do you want this community not to participate because they are not recognized as communities of traditional leaders?
Maybe, Honorable Honor, I'm sure note them once again and will then be give you responsibility to respond as we close.
No, Chairperson. In my own analysis, I decided not to go to the history. For instance, the commission of Nhlapo was established and they assisted in many other tribes. I don't want to tell say they didn't. They assisted. Even in my home, we've been assisted. But that doesn't mean, Chairperson, as people that have been converted to the practices of the superpower, we must not go deep in terms of investigation our own. For instance, the issue of Khoisan, even the day when the Sedas arrived in 1652, these people were already on the land. Because the problem I'm having when I'm thinking about this, what about to go and verify a peasant from his fatherland? That's my question. And when I'm thinking of this, I become divided, even myself. And what I want to understand, Mshawambi cannot get up, Makendich. For instance, the car is in the car, the people are bapang, I'm not brave, this thing was up. And it was wrong, I'm not back at the Alapeka. Because I can't see when we go, because I can't see when we go, who take God this we are going to do ABC. Then the Zamora understand good thing from me Western activities. They are Lasa. They are Lasa ubuntu bethu. I'm not angry, but I'm not but iyadinga nje.
Deputy Minister, maybe as you are concluding the response time, can you tell us why have you waited for 22 years before you promulgate a law to recognize the Khoi and the San and the community in this part of the country? because I do know that the constitution as it was passed in 1996, it stipulated in 212 that the legislature will promulgate a national legislation to recognize communities that are practicing this part. Two, what is that is difficult for the people in this part of the country to be treated like other communities in other provinces? For an example, if you look at the Mapedi, the origin from one house of Tular, but today there are 13 houses, why are you not treating the tribes that are in Western Cape in the manner you are treating others anywhere in the country? Is it a specific reason that you know of that will tell us that when you have moved out of your own senior house and you expanded into another part, you are not entitled? If it's the reason, why other houses expanded being recognized in that regard? Thank you very much.
Chairman, thank you. I'm not the deputy minister, because you've done the deputy.
No,
I've just asked you to answer the last one. The division of a traditional leadership, for instance, it comes in different ways. Or the creation of a new traditional leadership that comes from the same family, it comes in different ways. You find in other communities, when you, let's assume, UDM becomes a king now. So when it becomes a king, and I'm an Ipati, the Western House, then he appoints me as a senior traditional leader, because I've got the certain responsibilities to make sure that the Right-hand House is functional as the Left-hand House. You find an instance, Chairperson, where you will find which a junior brother will move to a certain area and establish a community in a separate area, and then come back to the senior brother who ask him to go and establish him there as a traditional leader. The senior brother will do that. That is how the division of traditional leadership happens. But you cannot have a space where somebody, just by virtue of being popular in a certain place, then becomes a senior traditional leader without the permission of the senior house. It can't happen like that. So, during the time of investigation, it was established that there wasn't any permission from the senior houses where these people originally come from, that they can be allocated. Therefore, it becomes wrong culturally for someone to change who the younger than he is. Therefore, those are issues that the commission is seeing into how do you become a person, a stand-alone person, yet objected to a certain house. A certain king visited the Western Cape. The claimant hides away who was claiming a kingship, because now the king was here,
the rightful king.
Now, that particular individual who was claiming that he's the king, he had to flee. Because the king was saying, who are you? Can you call yourself the king? So, yeah, those were the things that were brought before the attention of the commission when it was investigating. And despite the history that the commission looked into. So, yeah, I just wanted to explain the division of a community
If the community becomes too big, the ruling house may divide it and establish a certain senior traditional leadership. But it depends on the growth of the community. If the community grow to a pal, then the kingship or the senior house is here. The senior house will still allocate that place. Mutiwena, you are still my community here. I'm giving you this one who will be recognized as such. It's possible here, there alone, but there must be a system of traditional, a system of customary practices that follows that. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and also to the committee members and the petitioners. It is really a process, I must say, and I'm glad that the petition was given space to be listened to. Obviously, there are questions and answers that have been answered, but then there are those that are still hanging. Hoping therefore that as the committee goes to the second round or the third round before it concludes, we are governed by what is before us, the constitution, the national law, and where there are provincial laws or the provincial laws. Then the question we're asking, why it took 22 years for us now to be coming up with this law to say, let's recognize the question. Let me start from when the processes of the identification and the establishment of traditional leadership system begins, with appointment of the Tapo Commission, calling for submissions and calling for anybody who claims to be practicing the customary activities that are community for traditional leadership. Those who were already established then, and there are those who then came and said we were de-established, we wanted to establish once more. Because there was a lot of distortion that also that the Manchester system came in and divided families themselves, as you know. Colonialism has destroyed others completely and established something new. So all those evidences were being brought before the commission. And it's just unfortunate, I still don't know why, that in the Western Cape submissions, not a single question came forward to then claim when it was an open-ended process for any South African community that would love to come. The only claimant that came from the question was in the Free State, and they lost. Okay, that is the one who left the abyss as to why. But in the Western Cape, not a single one here came forward. However, we're quite pleased that the Kwai and the Sen, realizing that indeed there is a margins of society, had come together. And in the past 14 years, came with the Kwai Sen Council to say, we are in existence, recognize us, and we are here. Being the five groupings which are a majority, the Nama, the Kriqua, and so forth, coming together into that. And hence, when the president, then was still the deputy president of the country, when he was assigned this responsibility, he gave an undertaking that we will therefore have to provide the law, provision of the law, 14 years ago to do. And then indeed, when I came in the department, that was one of the issues that was, and I said to the department, can you spend time, weeks, months, really bring these amendments that were then had to go through cabinet processes up and down until last year when we were able to then finalize the bill which is not for Parliament, with the hope that this bill would have been concluded by then before the end of this year. But unfortunately it has been overtaken by other events. We don't know whether we'll still be able to finish it this year. We hope so. We want it to be completed this year because it's still in the NA. From the NA, it's still going to go to the NCOP. From the NCOP, it's still going to go to provinces. As the nature of the law in South Africa dictates, there's no shortcuts, we know. And therefore, Chair, that we're able to push it finally. And in 2014, when I came in to say, can we push this bill? And last year, we're able to complete the submission of the bill within a year of us focusing on the issue and the bill is there. But Chair, indeed, it is an issue that is a question I've been asking, that for 14 years we've been knocking and knocking on the government. Why had you not been listening to us? But
everyone has welcomed the bill, and I'm glad that open spirit to say now finally it is happening, and we hope therefore that it will be one of the paths that will correct things for the future. So that South Africa, and particularly all the indigenous groupings, can find space and expression in a democratic South Africa to continue practicing their own cultures and customs. And the last chair is then to say, indeed, in the examination and determination of traditional leaders, as well as Tola said, customary law also dictates the commissioners when they listen to the arguments. They'll go to the wrongs of what the white colonizers have done in the extraction of the families, take that evidence, and listen to what the Bantustans did also in addition. When the brother and brother were set aside to Tola, they will listen to that and get the facts and like what does the customary law of that particular community is about the law. And the question will go through that process when the law recognizes them. The advisory council will then be established, sort of like a tribal committee. We'll go through all the evidence and law, and finally we'll determine the finality of law. Including when land was taken, and then the land disposition issues will also have to be settled so that then they can be given their new jurisdiction area. But as South Africa is urbanizing also, there is a new issue that we hope it will be a new discussion. As it was raised to say, if I practice culture anywhere, why can I not be recognized as a traditional community in that particular area? Urbanization is moving people up and down. People are settling in different ways. The originality of habitation is now changing complexion. It's a matter that I, Honorable Tony, I will not be able to deal with. It's a new matter. Let's put it on the agenda. Let's discuss it and see. It has happened and it's happening in a rapid way. And very soon, we are intermarrying, we are doing all sorts of things. What will then be the determination of these new settlements that are taking place? And I've been sent to traditional leaders, even ourselves, in our own areas, urbanization is encroaching. It's no longer home streets. It's RGP houses that are coming in there. And as the RGP houses come, mining follows, and mining groups, other communities will come and work, and they end up settling there. How is the role of the traditional leadership going to be? It's a customary way of doing things. So culture is a phenomenon that is evolving, and it might then take different shapes and sizes, but let's not lose who we are at the end and restore our dignity, as we have said. But obviously, the new discussion that we are having here, we are more engaged on the petition for us. So, as I conclude, as we are going to be considering the petition, I will then say that please take into the effect that the new law will even help this to address the petition itself. I'm not giving an answer now. I'm just saying that for this process will really help the question even to begin to realize what is the petition coming as a result of the new law that is now permanently going to give a recognition of all South African groups, particularly the 10 indigenous groups in our status in society. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honorable Ambassador, I'm sure this brings us to Honorable Uncle Bert.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'd like your permission to then re-ask the question that I asked earlier to the original petitioner, with your permission.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Brandt, the question was then, you acknowledge that you received the letter from Minister Bridell on the 26th of the 3rd, requesting you not to use the logos of the provincial government of the Western Cape, and yet your letter, which was dated a month later, you continued using those logos, in spite of the request to cease from doing that. Just a response on that, please, sir.
Jefferson, the answer is in the assessment. They promised that us that they will take me to court, and we're still waiting for them to take us to court.
Honorable Manopole.
Chair, I'm just making an appeal that as we proceed, because what Honorable Elbeck is taking us back now, and we're supposed to proceed with the legal department with that issue. So I'm just making an appeal. Can we have progress on this matter and move forward? I'm just making an appeal without delay.
Can we, please?
Please,
Honorable Mahalagi.
Thank
Chairperson, I think the matter was responded to. I think as a committee we just have to at least stress, I don't know whether the minister saw us, but regardless of Minister Bazal's letter, but the use of the national emblem is for the use of the executive branch only on letterheads. And the use of another sovereign state, in this case the United Kingdom's national coat of arms, is a clear violation. It's a serious issue. And I think at Parliament we should just send a friendly request to the petitioners not to use the national coat of arms on their letterheads as if they are a branch of the executive. Thank you.
I think the report of the committee is going to be favoured to all the stakeholders, including the petitions and everybody. And wherever we would have remarked them and made a certain, you know, conclusion on a particular matter, we are requesting all the stakeholders to take, you know, that very serious. But for now, I think we will say we have received all the presentations. We have been clarified on areas that we were not certain. Maybe I should just, for the benefit of members, allow the legal unit to comment on this in one or two, including the issue of the decline of the premier, if they so wish. That's the point. In the midst of the legal unit, there are two gurus from that, you know, fraternity, and one of them, she has been the secretariat of this committee in the other, you know, house of the house, which is National Assembly, private members, legislative proposal and special petition, Barbara, and she you know, discussed her work with excellency, and I won it, and you know, I saw it coming, Deputy Minister. At that time you were House Chair also, and I said, I don't see you lasting in this committee, and indeed you are unit and the higher ranking stole her from the committee, and then she was then elevated to the legal unit where she's serving now. As we are talking, welcome, Barbara, in this regard, and over to you guys to comment if you have anything.
Thank you, Chairperson. I guess with the unfortunate stance that you did not introduce me, I must do so. My name is Kumele Lengema, a legal advisor from Parliament. We are working together on this matter with Dr. Luke. Basically, Chairperson, I will try from a legal point of view to cover all the issues that have been raised in a very brief manner. And first of all, we need to appreciate that all legislatures from the three spheres of government, that is national legislature, provincial legislature, and local government legislatures, they are all creatures of statute, which basically means that there's nothing that you can do beyond an enabling legislation that empowers you to act in the manner that you need to act. And so having said that, the issue that we are grappling with, and since the advent of the new constitutional legislative framework, that is the supreme law of the country, which seeks to address each and every challenge as long as we implement the constitution to its core terms as provided. So this question we are grappling with today, and the proposed bill that has been introduced to Parliament and is going to be processed urgently as soon as practical, it seeks to address colonization challenges that have impacted on the way that the people of South Africa are living, and understanding that we are a rainbow nation, there are two vast differences that we have to address. But fortunately for us, the constitutional framework was drafted, and in the processes that it went through, it attempted to foresee all the circumstances and look back into all the challenges that have been experienced and are still to be experienced in the democratic processes that seek to encapsulate everyone as a South African. Now, having said that, if we look at Chapter 12, Section 211, as well as Section 212, that is a constitutional framework that covers the issue that we are addressing today. And if you read those provisions, it cannot be faulted. It is very clear it recognizes traditional leadership in every form that it may take. And that is a crucial chapter of the Constitution that speaks to the issue that the committee is seeking to address today. And fortunately, there are other processes that are supplementing to address the same issue. And legally speaking, to then say there is possibly a vacuum to address the issue in the Western Cape or in whatever phrase that's been put, it's rather an unconstitutional statement to make and legally not sound. Because, as I said, trust herself covers every form. In fact, it recognizes every form of traditional leadership. And having said that then, from the way that the national legislation, which is the Traditional Framework Governance Act, which stems from the mandate and the requirement, as I said, in terms of Chapter 12 of the Constitution, that is national legislation, and it has no restriction. It applies throughout the Republic of South Africa. And there's no provision in that Act which says, in a certain province or a number of provinces, such legislation does not apply. It applies throughout the Republic without any form of restriction. Now, there are two issues that seem to be conjugated and correlated into this issue that the petition is seeking to address today. And the first one is the customary recognition by the traditional or customary or indigenous people that have recognized that leadership as a traditional leadership. And in terms of the court processes that have taken place, that was the one side that the court, in terms of the petition, in terms of what the petitioners have taken to court, were sort of trying to address. And that is the only part that the court has addressed and has also put some prohibitions to say, if you continue in this instance, that is probably not the proper way or appropriate way to interpret the law. So it addresses one part, and the chairperson and the members have actually spoken to that to indicate that there is an issue of establishment and recognition in line with who the community that recognizes you as the leadership, and then there is a second leg of the recognition which must be done administratively, and that is where the Ntlapo Commission also came in. It was to assist the administrative recognition in that instance to say there's a lot that needs to be done, there's a lot that needs to be investigated so that we work on information so that we follow through the court and comply with both the Constitution as well as national legislation, in this instance the Traditional Framework Act. Therefore, in hand to do these two processes, there has to be an interface. And there has to be a legal understanding, a proper interpretation of the legal framework as it exists. And having said that then, Jefferson, my understanding and legally speaking, that is what is an attempt that the traditional and Khoisan bill is trying to do. But it does not admit or infer that there has been a vacuum in law. There hasn't been a vacuum, but it seeks to clarify all the misinterpretations that have been given to the existing legal framework. And for me, Chairperson, that would be, because if I may just add the last point, is that the constitutional framework is also providing rights. And it's legal rights that are granted to each and every citizen of South Africa. And I would go even further. They say everyone. So the moment you come to South Africa, those rights will apply to you, having considered the circumstances of each case. And in this instance, it comes to mind the right to freedom of movement. People have a right to go wherever they are, but when I go to Cape Town or Western Cape, it doesn't mean I lose my identity. It doesn't mean I lose who I am. And basically, that's why I've said the Constitution is, unfortunately for us, or fortunately for all of the legislators, it was a framework that seeks to address each and every possible scenario that may arise, because it was a process that was so phenomenal to contemplate the future and look at the past as well. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you have added the submission from the legal unit, which will then be encapsulated into the
determination of the committee when we are at the deliberation. And we will still invite you at a day when we'll be, you know, finalizing the report. Thank you very much. Which one?
The letter of the Korean Revolution people.
Hang on, my leader.
I'm telling you, indigenous to the country.
No, you don't do that in parliament. You don't do that.
Can I address you? Because you irritate me the way you are answering, so. Wait.
I earlier indicated to all of us that as much as we'll be following the particular procedure and rules of Parliament, when we arrive at a particular position, we don't just allow everybody to speak as and when they want. We always follow the procedure. It is unfortunate, and I'm not going to allow myself to deteriorate into the manner that the Honourable Leader is inviting me to. But I'm saying to all of you that when you are in Parliament committee or in Parliament proceedings, all of us we are bound by the rules of Parliament. And we should all of us respect them accordingly, so that we equally, as members of Parliament, we are able to respect you and listen to. If you don't respect us, obviously you expect the same from ourselves. I thought I must just say so. But nonetheless, thank you for attending, and would take every little information which we received here today into our consideration when we arrive at the determination of the committee. And the report of the committee will become a public document, and all the stakeholders participated will be favored with that report once approved by the National Council of Provinces. Thank you very much, and this brings us to the adjournment of the committee.